Welcome back to Kill Dead. Happy Halloween and welcome back to Kill Dead Podcast. I'm your host, Gray. Tonight I'm joined by my internet co-host. We have Ash. We have Devin. What's spooky, y'all?
It's something.
We getting spooky up in this bitch.
So yes. I realized at the beginning of this situation here that I never released the other episode. Our last episode.
Oh.
So tomorrow.
Oh, what did I do?
You're the Justin Timberlake of our group.
Stop it. Oh. The insult.
I'm sorry. It was too current.
Damn. I'm shooketh. Like, what did I do to deserve that?
Well, at least you're not the Jada Pinkett of her.
Ooh. Oh, no, yeah, I'm good.
I still love Jada.
I'm cool on that.
Yeah, I love drama too. I know it's not horror related, but the one thing I don't understand about Jada is, like, is she trying to get a reaction out of Will? Or she just has never respected his feelings.
Oh, she never respected his feelings. The way she goes around, the way she goes around and still talks about, like, oh, Tupac was the love of my life. And, like, the way she just goes on and on. I mean, don't get me wrong. I'm a Tupac fan. I love me some Tupac. But the way that she carries on about him and then turns around and say, like, oh, Will and I have been separated for this long. Like, I feel like she just never had any respect for Will. At least, like, from what we've seen. But it's like, but, like, it's like, okay, imagine if it was the other way around. How would people react to the stories and everything that's happening?
Like, I'm pretty sure Will has been, like, embarrassing the fuck out of her. Like, maybe it's not on such a public scale, but I doubt that man has even been faithful from day one. Like, not to be, like, the devil's advocate, but, like, the fact that, like, publicly, from a public perspective, she went from, you know, on a friendship level, from Tupac to Will Smith, who had such a different image, was so weird.
Yeah, I mean, we're not there. We're not sure what happens behind closed doors. And, I mean, between the two of them, nobody's innocent at all. Like, that relationship was weird from the beginning. And then when when people started, like, airing out laundry and everything about them, I'm like, oh, that makes sense. But hello, welcome to Hollyweird.
You know, yes, but I also feel like, and this is just me, my youth of knowledge of Tupac, I've never heard Tupac ever say Jada's name.
Mm-mm.
I've heard him say Kidada's name, if I'm pronouncing it right. But Rashida's sister, who he did date, and had a publicized relationship with, I don't. I see pictures of Tupac and Jada, but anyone get a picture with Drake? You know, don't mean you know Drake.
I mean,
same thing with Tupac. He was around. Kendrick Lamar knew Tupac, but he won't like Kendrick Lamar then.
Defend the girl here. They've been open about their friendship. Like, I never knew of it of a romantic relationship. I guess that you could see that if you read between the lines, but, like, they've been known to be close. Because, I mean, even back when he did a cameo on A Different World back in the early 90s, it was like even before that, they were like, he did that cameo, I think, as a favor to her because they were friends. So I believe that. But I always liked Will and Jada as a couple, or at least from the outside looking in. But they're also that thing, that couple, every time you heard anything about their personal life, I start to lose interest in them. because it just it felt super phony and a lot of smoke mirrors.
I've always wondered, like, I'm gonna butcher her name, Kadada. Like, going back to her, like, how does she feel about all of this coming out? Like, she wasn't, like, her and Tupac were engaged, right? At the, like,
at some point, yes.
Yeah. So, like, how does she feel, like, knowing, like, this other woman's coming out saying, like, I love him so much, this and that?
It probably depends on if she's married right now or not. I know she got divorced earlier. I don't know who she dates, but, like, you know. I think it's tacky for anyone to be like, I ride for someone that was in a relationship with that I'm no longer in a relationship with, whether they're alive or not.
Mm-hmm.
You saw that fucked up the Kushers. They're not going to be seen in public for the rest of this year.
Wait, what?
They wrote a letter on Danny's behalf earlier.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
Oh.
See how quickly I forget about pop culture news?
Just means you're a forgiving soul.
Yes. I welcome the 90s show season 2.
But I mean, I don't know. Did they have an intimate relationship at some point? Sure. Did they bump uglies? Sure. But I mean, did Tupac get around? We know this.
Clever.
I'm glad you guys. How many kids does Quincy Jones have that we know of? Like, he claims. I mean, if you don't know, that's fine.
Let's do a quick Google. Let me stop. All right.
Okay, I remember, like, the older one is like Mary or Martina or something like that.
Damn, I didn't realize he was 90. Shit. Yeah,
he put in work.
He seven.
Oof.
I feel like there's more.
I
said that we know of,
but I couldn't. This was wrong.
Well, there's a Quincy Jones the third. Is there a Quincy Jones the fourth? Because that's the only boy I know of, right? Or I asked y'all. That's the only boy I know of.
I have no idea.
Yeah, I would not remember his name if it wasn't Quincy Jones the third. It's like Jessica Simpson's brother-in-law's name escapes me every time.
Jason.
Oh, okay. Oh.
Wait a minute. Tony Roma, right? Or am I thinking of somebody? Isn't she married? Wait a minute. Great, what the hell is this episode about?
apparently, pop culture.
Pop culture and Halloween hot takes.
Yeah, this is don't try to stare the show back, just let it happen. I'll put Quincy's bloodline in the show notes. We can move on. It is officially the eve of Halloween weekend.
Yeah.
And I am excited. I have no plans for Halloween, but I do have plans throughout the weekend coming up. The biggest thing for me, and it's not, because you could do this any time of the year, depending on your city, is I'm going to go see Halloween 78 on the big screen Monday night.
Hell yeah.
I'm happy to say that this has become like an annual tradition. That I get to go watch this on the big screen once a year or during spooky season.
I did that for like three years in a row, but for some reason, and I'm about to go on a rant for a little bit for a second. Don't. No, I just, so last year, and I want to say almost like 2 years in a row now, AMC used to do like surprise screenings. Like, you'll get your ticket. You won't know what movie was showing until you sat in a seat and it started playing. And oh, I was always looking forward to that. But they didn't do it this year. This year, they decided to drop, like, some random movies. And what pissed me off is that, at least in my area, I'm in Cincinnati, y'all. Like, listeners, I'm in Cincinnati. My AMC location had none of those movies showing. If I wanted to see them, I would have to go over into Newport, Kentucky for that. And I'm not doing that.
No.
But I give props to Regal because they decide every Monday they do surprise screenings. And the past few screenings have been movies that have not been released yet. Like, I think just this past Monday, they screened It's a Wonderful Knife.
Oh.
Yes. I was salty as hell. I was like, well, I mean, I might have to start driving 15 minutes away to go to a Regal because AMC is slacking.
Well, first of all, I can't let you trash talk Newport, Kentucky. I spent a lot of time in that city specifically.
I know.
mostly because it's right near the airport. I like that Regal is making a comeback in some markets, because I forget what episode it was, but it was definitely last year when you were like, you went to a Regal. I was like, they're still open?
Oh yeah, when they did I went to see the Scream 2 anniversary.
Okay. Yeah, and I was just blown away that they're doing stuff. But I also know, like, AMC was in the same boat, right? AMC used to give away popcorn, do the screenings when they were struggling. If you're a stockholder, you get like invites to, I don't know, stuff. But I think the movie theater game is just crazy. And this is actually, you know what? This is part of my hot take. I don't know if I'm going to save it. And we're going to come back to this.
Okay.
Uh-oh.
Looking forward to it.
I guess it's time to introduce it. So this episode, we're talking shit mostly, but we're going to go over some hot takes, things that we have noticed within the horror community, culture, movies, you name it, we might say it. If you get offended, I'm sorry. It's all Ash's fault. But we're going to do our best. I'll go first. That way we can not give a gap in between. So this idea came to me because of our discussion about The Exorcist. I recently went and saw it in theaters for the first time ever. And I never in my life was aware of the sound. Like, most so recently, like, I got a sound bar maybe 2 years ago, but not like surround sound, just a sound bar. But most things, and I think a lot of people in the horror community are watching stuff on a laptop or a tablet. I could be wrong, but not everything gets watched on the television. Or at least I'm guilty of it. If I own the physical media, I'll put it on the television. But if I'm like streaming or something, laptop until today. Speakers don't work anymore. But anyway, so I go see this film. Alamo Draft House. Sorry, I'm going to drag you for a little bit. I'm not really sorry, actually. But if you are a member of Alamo Draft House Season Pass, the price does vary between markets. You're either paying $20 or $25, $27, I think. I forget. And if you are a person who's ever used, what's that called? Cinemark. They have a similar program for like $15, not as robust. AMC has a program for varying prices, $20 to $30, depending on your market. Everyone except for Alamo waives a transaction fee. So like if you buy a ticket or whatever, you don't get charged anything, nothing, $0. If you buy Alamo one, you get charged $2.05. Not sure if it's called transactional fee, but I took a screenshot just for tonight. Because I was just like, I can't believe this. And I also can't find it.
As you say, is it in the chat?
No. Okay, so it's $1.89 convenience fee and 16 cents for tax is what they charge you in the Austin market. Tax will vary, so if you pay differently in your own market, that's probably why. But when I went to go see, and I was okay with that, $2 for a movie at Alamo ain't bad, but if you figure, if you're eating at the Alamo, which I really rarely do, because if you go to the movies all the time like I do, you're not eating. You're not going to spend $100 every time you go to the theater.
Shit.
But this time they hit me with a new fee. I paid the $205 plus a $1.99 Dolby fee.
What?
Yep. Now, I'll admit, The Exorcist sounded great. I've never experienced it like that in my life. It was fantastic. However, charging me a fee, or any customer, anyone, a fee for a stereo system you've already purchased and installed. It's part of your attraction to the theater. Don't charge me a separate fee. If you need to increase your ticket prices, increase your ticket prices. But like, the point of the season pass is to be like, hey, I get to go see movies for this price we negotiated and not spend a dollar more. And I'm just like, dude, you're rubbing me the wrong way. I don't know how much longer I'm going to keep the season pass, but I feel like this culture that we're getting into, they also do something else, which I started noticing over summer. It's where they charge you an 18% fee automatically if you do order something. I didn't notice it per se at first until like I went with a group of people and we were trying to figure out the check. But if we hadn't gone, or if I hadn't gone with a group of people, I would have never noticed that. Now, if you're there at the beginning of the film, which you should be, they explain to you that it's on your check automatically. You don't have to tip in addition, but additional tips are always appreciated, something like that. And I'm just like, tipping culture is getting out of control. And from the standpoint of like, you're charging me. I remember the first time I saw the fee, it's like 18%. This guy was horrible. I didn't get my food until like well after the first hour of the movie. And then I was still waiting 20, 30 minutes after the film to get my check.
Yo, this is the experience I had when I saw Talk to Me.
Really?
At the theater out here. Same thing. Go on. You're in good company.
Yeah. And I'm just like, so, and I'm people have off night, machines can be broken, whatever. I come from a hospitality program background. So I'm not like mad at you for my unique experience. However, in a tipping culture, I think you kind of have a barometer of like, hey, I don't make $100 a night like my coworkers. You're kind of like maybe taking a step back and be like, do I suck as a server? I should get better because I want to make better tips. Now it's kind of like, I forgot where I was. I was at maybe Jimmy John's and they have tips on their screen. And I'm like, I'm tipping you before you even make the sandwich. That doesn't make any sense. I've read an article today where they're going to start installing tipping on self-service machines. Like, I got all these groceries myself. I bagged them myself. I paid for them myself. Who am I tipping?
Who are you tipping?
It's thank you.
What's the tip for? Who does it go to?
I think employers are doing it under the guise of this is to help pay the wages of our servers or the people who take care of you. However, and I will say this and I have no remorse about it, like you choose to underpay your staff. Like $213 is the minimum. You don't have to pay them $213. You can pay them $5 an hour.
Yeah.
That's a choice. So don't tell me you're going to auto charge me a tip, a fee, or whatever when you're making a choice to underpay your staff. And yes, granted, I know the other side of it is servers don't have to agree to take these jobs. And I wish everyone is in a situation where they have no other option other than wait tables or be a server of some sort, could find anything else. I really do. Because like most other countries, there's either no tipping culture or the percentage is way lower. Like, you know, I was just in Mexico. A good tip is 15%. Average tip is 10%. And I'm not saying underpay other countries. Like, if you really had a good experience, tip people, would you think your experience was worth 100%? But culturally, like, if a local is going to the store or restaurant or whatever. But I digress. My beef is with movie theaters because I think, like, such a fragile environment, not everyone... What's going to happen to young moviegoers? Like, the 20-year-olds that are just discovering films for the first time without their parents and maybe will sneak away on a Tuesday night to go see something they really wanted to see. And now it's just like, I'm paying $30 for a ticket, let's say DC Market, and then I'm getting snacks and treats, probably a minimum of $20 for a solo person, but it obviously can go up more. So you're in $50, and this is just a Regal or AMC. This isn't like an iPick or Alamo. Just a basic, you had to take the Metro to get here, and it was built 20 years ago, and this is the closest one to your house. $50, enjoy yourself at a movie for an hour and a half or 2 hours is like crazy.
Oh, I feel old. I'm just kidding. No, but like, you bring up a lot of good points. I, like, just the other day, I was thinking, like, damn, like, I remember being so excited to go to the movies with my friends, like, every Friday or Saturday, like, mainly Friday nights. And I'm just like, look, like, every time I go to my local AMC, it's just, it's like a ghost town. And it's just like, they don't even have, like, the show times outside. You barely get to see the name of the movie that's playing in the rooms or anything. And I'm like, the other day, I was just thinking, I was like, man, like, I used to have had such an amazing time going to the movies with my friends. Like, this was something we always looked forward to. And it's like, all I needed was like $20. And I was set for the night. Like, tickets were cheap. The snacks were cheap. Like, everything was cheap. And I just really appreciated going to the movies. These kids nowadays, they don't appreciate good things. But, like, it's like, I'm not saying all kids. I'm not saying all kids, y'all. But, like, I even noticed, like, even, like, when they do go to the movies, they act up and they ruin the experience for the other patrons. Mm-hmm. And I'm just, like, I'm just really afraid that, like, the theater industry is just going to disappear soon. And I'm scared. Like, everything is just going to be streaming. Or you'll be lucky if you have one movie theater open in your town.
Yeah, like, I didn't even think about that. But theaters back in the day, opening used to be a thing. I remember when Virginia Center Commons opened, and I was like, have you been there yet? We called it VCC for short. It's like, you've been there yet? You've been there yet? They got stadium seating. Like, seats used to be technology people get excited for. But now it's, like you said, as the streaming element, there was, I watched a TikTok today. These guys are sitting on a college campus, and I believe, I'm paraphrasing, but they were like, first person, and they're holding a VHS tape. First person to correctly identify what this is gets $100.
No.
I didn't even watch the rest of the video. Cause
y'all are so old.
If someone got it in the first try. But I'm just like, really, kids in college today wouldn't know what a VHS is. It's like beyond me.
I don't appreciate it.
No.
Yeah, it's and just so many different ways to consume entertainment. Like, theaters are not the main option or even the most desired option anymore. Like, now it's all about convenience. And you can watch anything you want on your phone or a tablet anywhere at any time without having to pay all the high fees of your concession stands or the theater tickets and service fees and all that other shit.
Let me ask you this caveat then, because, like, famously right now, every streaming service has just increased their price. So now if you have more than two or three streaming services, you're paying more than it was to get cable.
Mm-hmm.
Cable didn't increase every couple of years. So, like, how long until streaming is done? I mean, traditional streaming. I know there's, like, black market television where people just build servers and you can watch and download, or, you know, the Fire Stick community and what have you. But I'm talking about actual streaming services. At some point, they're going to hit their max.
I'm waiting for that, especially for Netflix, because they done pissed me off. But, because, like, the other day, like, they announced that they're increasing their prices. And I'm like, again, y'all just increased them, like, a couple months ago. Mm-hmm. So, like, I was going to cancel my subscription, but, like, I really want to watch, like, the new Mike Flanagan series. Like, even though I still haven't watched his previous ones, I wanted to watch this one. So I was like, okay, I'll just, like, drop down my tier like I did before. And I was already at the lowest tier. So when I went on my account, they're like, oh, this current tier that you're in is discontinued. So my only option was dropping down to the streaming with ads. And that's $6.99. And mind you, Netflix doesn't offer student discounts. So I'm big salty right now. But I'm just like, every time they announce that they're increasing their prices, oh, we're releasing amazing new content that no one else has. But Netflix is notorious for taking away TV shows and bringing them back on like the next month. Like, granted, yeah, they do have some original content, but they're notorious for taking out. Oh, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, I think that that part will stabilize a little bit. Part of the writers' negotiations was transparency around streaming. So now they can't say, oh, this show didn't do well, and this isn't a marketing tactic, or this isn't a way to, like, not pay writers. And hopefully the actors, I know there was another meeting today. I don't know what happened, but hopefully the actors will get some similar deal as well around streaming. Because they're making all this money, and they're never explaining how it works.
Yeah. I don't think that streaming is going to go away, but I do think it's just going to evolve and modify to something that's going to be sort of permanent for a while. You know, I haven't read any studies or anything, but in my head, I think it's going to be more or less a lot of mergers happening. Maybe Netflix takes over Apple, or absorbs Apple, or, you know, Hulu absorbs Disney, something to that effect. And then eventually it might be movie studios have their own streaming services. So everything under Warner Brothers has their own. Paramount has their own. Sort of like how it is now, but probably more rigid with their own libraries. I can see something like that.
Yeah, you're right.
Of streaming has moved to... It's proved too valuable, too profitable to take away.
No, I mean, I don't doubt that, but I think there's going to be an evolution of some sort of how we just consume.
Yeah.
You know, back when DVDs came out in the 80s, I'm sure no one was like, there's going to be HD DVDs. And then, like, or those were short-lived, but HD Blu-ray competition... And then Blu-ray, yeah, and 4K consuming Blu-ray. Netflix just stopped renting DVDs. I didn't even know Netflix still rented DVDs.
Me neither.
It's like, here we are in 2023, and there was still someone getting DVDs by mail. That is a grandfathered plan, if I've ever seen one. And now, you know, there's streaming, and then there was HD streaming or 4K streaming. And I know 8K exists right now. That's not for me. I don't know who's watching anything in 8K. Maybe Jim Cameron, but that's it.
Good old Jim.
So yeah, that's my hot take. Is just the consumerism has a problem, and it's affecting theaters now, and it's a shame. And if you're I think I heard you guys talking about this before I started, and I think Five Nights at Freddy's is gonna suck.
Oh, it's been receiving mixed reviews already.
Yeah.
And like, I haven't followed up. I'm still new to the whole lore of it, but I know like the basics thanks to my student from last school year. But I was just going to see it to show up, like support horror. And I mean, you have Matthew Lillard and Josh Hutcherson and all that stuff. So I was like, I was going to show up anyways, but based on the reviews, and I tried not to go and like listen to the reviews, but I mean, it's like a shit ton already. And people are saying like, it's not that great, but it's a perfect gateway horror for people who are wanting, or teens who are wanting to get into horror. So I mean, it's not going to, it's not for our audience. It's more for gateway.
And that could be well put. I was having a conversation with Dre a couple of weeks ago about, I forget the movie now. I'd have to look at my Letterboxd. But like, there was some movie, and I was like, I don't know who the audience is, but it ain't me. It is someone, I would say, well established in your horror content. And, but like, yes, you do have to grow new fans. Like, I remember, you know, sneaking to watch movies when I was younger. But I guess you don't have to sneak around if there was just content meant for you.
I'm happy to see like this influx of like new gateway horrors for like the younger crowd. Like I recently saw Spirit Halloween, the movie on Shudder. And I'm like, this is like the 10-year-old in me would have loved this movie. I'm happy it exists. Like, we don't have as many movies like we had, at least when I was growing up, like the Monster Squad and...
Oh, Monster Squad.
Goonies? I don't know. Goonies isn't really horror adjacent, but...
Now, I would... Like, I want to ask y'all this. Sorry. I didn't mean to cut you off. Were you still...
No, go ahead.
No, so, like, when it comes to, like, gateway horror and just, like... horror that focuses on like a younger audience, do you feel like they can get away with more stuff in today's like generation, or do you think like the movies that came out like in our time got away with more stuff?
Our time,
like you feel like they're still like they're playing it safe?
Yeah, I think there's more sensitivity around violence in the image of children in peril, I would assume.
Yeah, I was just thinking about that because one of my favorite like Disney movies growing up was, what's that, Don't Look Under the Bed? Mm-hmm. And which is lots of people love this movie, but it did get a lot of like controversies around it because like parents were like complaining like, oh, this is too dark and scary for my child. And I mean, it's the second DCOM movie to receive a PG rating, but like the parents were like complaining like it's too scary. And like even like fun fact, like some of the people, some of the big heads were like, should we get rid of the scene where the main girl and a black character kiss because we don't want to upset people in certain states, like in the South? And I'm just like, damn. Like, y'all really stressing over this movie. Okay.
What year was this?
I think that was 99. Yeah, 99.
99. Yeah, I saw that movie. It's been trending lately. I at least have seen it online, like people talking about it more, and I've never heard of it.
So it's finally on Disney Plus.
Okay, so maybe that's why I'm hearing more about it. Okay.
You know, to go back for a second, I canceled my Shudder, and I was going to start doing Apple Plus. But then I saw Apple Plus is raising their prices to $10. And now it's more than Shudder. So I have
I'm stressed.
Yep. But anyway, enough about me. Devin, what's your hot take? I feel like hearing something controversial.
So my rent, okay, so my rent is actually going to start sour, but it's going to turn sweet. So, you know, every year for the Halloween season, we always start watching the Halloween movies, the Michael Myers movies. And we typically go in order. We watch them throughout the entire month leading up to the final day. And this year, I've been watching them same as always. And they're still my movies, and I still love them. But I just, I don't know, I'm not connected to them anymore. I think I just, I've maybe seen them way too many times. And I'm stuck on, I'm talking about the original series. I'm not on the David Gordon trilogy yet. But, like, I just finished watching part 6 the other night, and I'm like, oh, man, let's watch part 7 now. 7 is never been my favorite. I know everyone loves 7, but it's just, whatever. So,
which one's 7? 7's
H2O.
Oh, you don't like H2O?
It's fine. It's fine. It's just also a lot of, it's just super illogical. Which I know is a super criticism of Halloween, but it's just, I just have so many issues with that movie. And it's just, I know that's everyone's favorite Laurie Redemption. I prefer 2018 Laurie Redemption. That's just
Is it because there's too many, I don't know, horror icons in the film? Or
Josh's hair?
It's, well, partly Josh's hair. But also, it felt like Scream meets Halloween. And I know Kevin Williamson did an uncredited rewrite on the script, but it very much felt like a Halloween film that was influenced by Scream. Which it shouldn't be that way. This is fucking Halloween with Jamie Lee Curtis. Why are we referencing its own protege, so to speak? I just didn't like it. I mean, I like it. I take that back. I like it, but I just don't love it.
I didn't know Kevin Williamson did rewrites on it.
Yeah.
I mean,
it feels like a Scream movie.
Yeah, it does. Like, even like the setting of it.
The setting, and like, the music, the over-articulated teenagers.
Yeah,
I was about to say the
music. Yeah.
Now, is that the Scream, kids are, or is straight that just out of Dawson's Creek horror?
That's Kevin Williamson, because that was his signature.
Where, like, these... that theme song, the...
Well, so that's... You know, like, the signature are, like, the way the teens talk. They're, I think he was trying to, you know, kind of make more intelligent teenagers. These kids were not your typical, hyper-sexualized teens. That's the trait that most of his characters shared, especially in the late 90s. And it's fine for Halloween. It just, but overall, the film just felt like a Scream ripoff with a Michael Myers instead of a Ghostface. But because I was dreading going into that movie, I decided to have a bunch of double features of old movies that I've never seen or haven't seen in a long time. So this is where the sweet comes in. So I did a double feature of Invasion of the Body Snatchers. The original one from the 50s and the 1978 version. Never seen either. Love both of them.
Really?
Have you guys seen them? Yes.
I think I've seen 78. Yeah. Donald Sutherland, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. That one I like. I don't care for the 56 one.
There's a 90s one too, right? Yeah.
Yeah. Which isn't bad. It's actually pretty good. And then there's another one with Nicole Kidman from 2017.
A lot of people talk about that one.
For a good reason, apparently.
Oh.
It's been really bad.
Are we skipping over the Kevin Williamson one?
The Faculty?
Oh, the Faculty. Means Scream meets Invasion of the Body Snatchers.
There you go.
I still love that movie, though.
I think it's because, like, everyone's hot.
It wasn't in the Faculty?
Yes.
Do you remember those Tommy Hilfiger ads?
Of course. Yes.
I was like, wasn't Kidada Jones in those ads, too?
Yep. She was in the movie, but they cut her scenes.
Right.
Because she played Usher's girlfriend.
Oh, is that true?
And they, yeah, and they cut most of his scenes. Yeah, I remember that now.
You know, I'll let you finish in 1 second, but like, it used to be like an apparent thing when someone hasn't watched the movie back in like the 90s and early 2000s, because they'll start talking about scenes that don't exist in a movie, like when they're on the late night shows and stuff like that. And you're just like, wait, what? When did this happen? But it makes sense. You remember what you shot. You don't always have to go to the premiere.
Well, and what was weird, like Kidada, who's all of her scenes were cut from the movie, and Usher, whose most of his scenes were cut from the movie, they were used heavily in the marketing campaign. Mm-hmm. I can't imagine why they would be deceptive to the audience like that.
Well, you know,
I wonder if is there a Blu-ray release of the movie?
Yeah,
of the faculty. Oh.
Yeah. Okay. Like, does it have like any like deleted scenes on it? Like, maybe there's scenes is in the special features. Because I would love to see them.
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know.
Oh, I gotta look that up.
I'm about to go look now. Y'all could talk.
Yeah, let me know, because I would buy that. The other double feature I did was a movie that I have seen, but probably not since I was a very, very small child. Was Ghostbusters and Ghostbusters 2.
Interesting. You consider them horror movies.
Yeah. Yeah, would we not? Would they not be horror adjacent, or are they more like comedy?
Horror comedy?
I think the first film is more of a comedy, and then they tried to make it more serious and darker with the second film. Because remember, Eddie Murphy was originally cast to be in that movie.
Yeah, and then when he turned down the script, they cast Ernie, then got most of the character out of the movie. Or out of the script.
Out of the script, yeah. And he's not even on the original poster.
I really hate the way they did it. But that was kind of a dark... I mean, I enjoy these films, but that was kind of a dark cloud.
Because watching these movies. Can you imagine being on the set with all this comedy gold and you're like the pitch hitter? And I'm not saying... I've never seen an interview where he said anyone treated him poorly, like the people on set with him. But right. Like, studio clearly did. And it's just like... I mean,
it was
fucked up. Yeah. Yeah, I don't want to put words around anything else, but.
Yeah, it was really fucked up. Yeah, but I enjoyed the movie. I would actually consider those gateway horror. Because they're scary enough, but not too scary. No?
I would say the first one could be gateway horror. Like, I would, if I were having a spooky night with children, I would pair Ghostbusters with Gremlins. Like,
that's a good combo.
Ghostbusters and then finish it with Gremlins.
Yeah, that's a good combo. I would do that. And then I also watched a movie called Someone's Watching Me, and I paired that with Terror in the Aisle. Now, these two movies really don't have anything in common, but Someone's Watching Me is a John Carpenter film. It was considered like a lost John Carpenter film because it came out the same year as Halloween. In fact, it came out about a month after Halloween, but I believe he filmed it before Halloween, and it was a TV movie. And the plot is actually, so the plot follows a woman who's being stalked by a killer in while living in a high-rise apartment.
He started his affair with Adrian.
Yes. Yes.
That's the only reason I'll remember this film.
Do you know what the storyline, does the storyline sound familiar at all?
Yes.
Because it was the proposed sequel to Halloween, to the original Halloween 2.
Nuh-uh.
Yeah. Yeah, that was the original concept for Halloween 2, was that Michael was going to stalk Lori in a high-rise apartment. And he scrapped it.
Well, I'm glad he did.
Yeah, I'm glad he did too, because although I did like the movie, I prefer Halloween 2, the actual Halloween 2 as a story.
That's a brave statement. I'm proud of you.
Thank you. He grew as a filmmaker. Well, I mean, although he didn't direct Halloween 2, you could tell the overall scares that he, whatever, put in the script, they were more effective than they were in Someone's Watching Me. And to be fair, Someone's Watching Me is a TV movie, so they can only go so far.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I think that one you really have to go with tension building and other tactics.
Yeah.
And Deborah Hill's the director of Halloween 2?
No, Rick Rosenthal.
Oh. She just produced it.
Well, she also wrote the script with John Carpenter.
Oh, I didn't know he took credit for that. I don't even mean any jokes by it.
Really? No, he did. He wrote the script.
A very divisive moment in their relationship.
So I really liked it. I did like the movie a lot. And then I also watched Terror in the Isle, which I haven't seen that since I was a kid. So this is a documentary, and it's like the very first of one of those, like, the best moments in horror. Like, remember when Bravo used to have those, like, the 50th scariest moments in horror?
Yes.
It's like that, but a theatrical version featuring films released up until 1984. And so it stars Donald Pleasance and Nancy Allen as they play themselves sitting in the theater talking to the audience as they're narrating all of these old scenes. And the movie is basically a love letter to horror, to horror fans. And you can find both those on YouTube.
You struck my interest with that. I've never seen that.
It's so fun.
I've literally been ruminating on Laurie Strode's wig in Halloween 2 since you mentioned it.
I was going to say, which wig?
I think I'm going to look for one. I want me one.
I'm done.
I mean, I have several masks, right? But why not the wigs?
Why not?
Yeah.
You go walking around like Pac Anderson with that wig, with the bob wig.
Oh.
I wonder why her wigs aren't more of a collector's item. Like, why they aren't more of a theme. Like, with costumes.
They should be.
Hers and Courtney Cox's from Scream 3.
Oh my gosh, the bangs.
Yeah.
Oh.
Imagine if they just have like the clip-on bangs that look like that.
I mean, you could really just take any old t-shirt from Goodwill and make that hairstyle.
So rude. All right, Spear Halloween, get on it.
Right? I mean,
all right, Shein and Timu.
When I saw an interview of her talking about how David convinced her it was a good look, I was like, that explains it all.
It didn't last much longer after that.
Yeah. I wonder if their kid is going to start acting.
She sings. No, is that the one she sings? No. I think I got... Never mind, I got her confused with Suri. Yeah. She has a nice voice.
Suri Cruz?
Yeah.
I know she exists, but I cannot tell you what she looks like. Does she go to premieres with her dad?
No.
Yeah.
No. I'm done.
No.
I'll send it. I don't want us to get caught.
I'm so serious. Scientology do nothing for me.
Allegedly.
But he has, or she, when she was a baby, had his smile. Like, if you look at her smiling, it's her dad in the 80s.
Well,
I don't know
if I'll take your word for it. I don't want to look up pictures of 4-year-old Siri.
Yeah, don't type that in.
Yeah, I don't want to type that in.
So while we're talking right now, I have Dressed for Kill playing in the background, and I'm trying not to laugh at the scene where dude sees the woman's body in the elevator and he just runs off. It reminds me of Peter from a Cosby Show, but the way he will just like run off, that's how dude ran.
Dang, dang, dang.
Trigger warning. It's like...
Ash, what's your Halloween outfit?
I have none. I'm just kidding. No, on the topic of Halloween, the movies, Halloween, let me clear my throat.
Okay, DJ. Oh, damn. Blue.
I feel like... I have a couple hot takes. I'm trying to figure out where I want to start with. I feel like Rob Zombie's Halloween, especially the first one, is top tier. It's a damn good movie, but it's a damn good movie, but nobody, like, people don't want to admit it because it's Rob Zombie, which I completely understand. And we know how Rob Zombie is. He likes to focus on the whole, I hate saying it, like white trash and all that stuff. Like the like just everything being nasty, vulgar, and all that stuff. But like you have to admit, Tyler Mane as Michael Myers is terrifying.
I fully agree with that. I think that is the best thing about those movies is Tyler and Daniel Harris.
Oh yeah. Like I feel like just that one, I feel like it's a great movie, but people, I mean, is it a perfect movie? No. Like, the dialogue is just atrocious. And, like, finding out how, like, and just, like, how Rob Zombie is, like, with the female stars of his movies, like, just the nudity and everything about, I mean, don't get me wrong, blood, tits, guts, and ass, I'm all about it. But like, just the like exposing your stars like that—that
should be on like just fair.
What?
Blood, guts, tits, and ass. I'm all about it.
Ooh, take note. Copyright it.
Sorry, go ahead.
No, you're fine. But that's one of my hot takes. Another one. Halloween is a damn good movie, but people are too stuck up and too proud to admit it. They are stuck in their old ways and don't want to admit that it's a damn good movie. And I feel like everyone's expectations for it was set way too high. And I completely understand why they were high. Halloween is a beloved franchise for how many? 45 years now? Mm-hmm. I think it's been 45 years. Today. So, yeah, today. Actually. So I feel like people just did not want to accept the fact that there is another character causing terror in Haddonfield. And I know people still throw the whole, like, how could a scrawny kid take down Michael Myers like that? Like, just, I'm not going to dig too much into the movie because we have other stuff to talk about. But I just feel like if people would not be so stuck up about their like just their thoughts and ideas about the movie, they can finally accept that it's a decent movie. Believe me, there are worse films out there.
I think there's and worse films in the franchise.
Exactly. And like in my like opinion, I feel like that movie was a great way to spread the message that evil can can move on to another person. It does not have to be one specific person. Evil spreads.
I mean, yeah, evil's not a person. Plain and simple.
I really enjoy that. And I get some of the criticisms that I've heard. Structurally, some of it is mature, but I really, really respect that trilogy. Even with all the ends, they had a clear story they wanted to tell, and they told it. It may not have been a perfect story, it may not have been a story we all expected, but I really enjoyed Halloween Ends.
Same. I actually just did my trilogy binge like a week or two. Yeah, a week ago. And I'm over here, I'm like, damn, I really like this trilogy.
Yeah.
Especially like Halloween Kills. I love Halloween Kills.
Like, so, despite my earlier rant about like not liking the Halloween movies, I want to continue them. I'm gonna do the David Gordon Green trilogy this weekend. Like, full stop.
Yeah, I think that in general, like if we're just talking about filmmaking, period, I don't know another franchise that had a planned trilogy and it worked out well. Or even a planned sequel. Like, we're going to shoot two movies back to back. Like, it's never worked out. I don't know. Well, let's exclude Jim again from this. I was an Avatar fan. I saw Avatar 2 and I'm just like, this is for somebody. It's just not me at all. And it's taken him forever to do it. So, but like anything else, like the Indiana Jones is a mess.
I heard the last film wasn't that great.
I think the story itself is fine, but like I think the direction they gave Indiana Jones wasn't well, because there's a portion of the film where he's younger Indy, but he doesn't act any different. Young Indy still acts like old Indy. And it's like, you weren't this wise. You didn't know what you were doing. Your voice should have been de-aged as well. Because no person sounds the same way their whole life. So it kind of takes you out of it. You're just looking at Harrison Ford with a younger face. But I think that that's on the director. That's not anyone else's. Everyone gave good performance.
I literally forgot.
Say.
Yeah.
Oh my god. Is it even streaming yet? Or on DVD or whatever?
I would imagine it's streaming, but I have not seen it.
That is fucked up.
Maybe it's still in theaters. Maybe it is doing well in some markets. Somewhere.
Not yet.
Yeah. Yeah, but I don't think there's a trilogy in history that has done well, and all three films came out when they were supposed to, plus or minus a pandemic.
I don't know, was Star Wars count?
No, I don't think it was a planned trilogy. I think he just kept making it. Because it's like, even the fact when he started making it, or when he sold it to Disney, and they were like, all right, well, those movies are the middle part of the story. Let's go to the beginning. But, I mean, I could give the Lucas credit for establishing worlds. Because now you have 9 films and probably 5 or 6 spinoffs, all connected.
I feel like there has to be another trilogy that was like perfectly planned. I cannot give that to this movie.
I mean, I'll wait.
Like, I was going to say Godfather, but the third one I think was
not actually planned. There are still people today that don't know it was 3 films.
But it's not a bad movie. Hatchet.
I love Hatchet.
Those 3 were planned.
4.
Did all 3 get wide releases?
Oh, Okay.
Don't start.
Well, I mean, I'm just saying. Maybe you could give it to the Jurassic World franchise.
There you go.
I personally didn't like it, but
okay. I feel like I'm gonna come up with a trilogy, and it's gonna come to me like at midnight, which will be like 2 o'clock in the morning your time. I'm gonna wake you up and say, "Great, I found it."
All right. Oh, you know what is still a candidate is the A Quiet Place franchise. Because part three is still coming.
Yeah, like a little spinoff.
Oh, all right. And I think that both entries were great. It's like one was definitely an experience. Two was a great transition into like, all right, we're going to go traditional cinematic with it. I didn't know there was a spinoff, but I'm okay with it.
The one that's coming out is Lupita. That's the day one.
Yeah, that actually got pushed back.
Oh, it got pushed back? Oh, okay.
That makes sense. Yeah,
there's only an official third. The Dark Knight trilogy.
He's just throwing movies like this one.
You know, I'll give it that. Dark Knight trilogy is good. And definitely
Ooh.
Better than Halloween trilogy.
Ooh.
Lord of the Rings. Wasn't that a trilogy?
Oh. Fuck, man.
And The Hobbit?
I can't. I've tried. I've never seen it.
I've tried the first one.
It puts me to sleep.
Before sunrise, before midnight?
As soon as I sit still.
Great, I'm just going to send you a list in the middle of the night.
So, Gray, what are some of your hot takes? Uh-oh. We lost him.
Fear Street.
Ooh. Could you imagine if they got dropped in theaters?
Like 6 months, but that's what they're going to do with The Strangers and upcoming trips.
Did they say, so it's just going to be a new story with The Strangers, right? Like it's like a reboot or.
So I've been hearing different things. I heard initially it was going to be a remake trilogy, and now I'm hearing it's more of a sequel / prequel. So it's in the same universe, apparently.
Because I'm about to say, if it's a sequel, I mean, that means they had to get a new doll face since, because she was killed in the second one.
Yeah, I gotta watch the second one again.
Oh, I love the second one.
Yeah, I really like the second one too. I didn't like it at first, but I've grown to love it.
And it was filmed not too far from me. Over in Kentucky.
Really?
Yeah, it was like over the river. Hello, Gray.
Oh, hello.
I listed a few other trilogies while you were out.
And by a few other, do you mean one or two? You.
That was a trilogy, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's
Fear Street. Cool. And Fear Street.
Oh, okay, Fear Street, I'll give it to you. Twilight, I don't know. I was invested in it, so I don't know if people consider it a good trilogy.
Yes, that's enough.
I mean, I don't know. I remember people getting upset that the vampire sparkled, even though Anne Rice has been writing about that for decades. And I was just like, I don't know where it takes a series or the demographic isn't for me. I did watch one of them with my sister.
I feel like they might be good B-horror movies. They're not B-horror movies. movies, but like so bad kind of movies.
The Twilight films?
No. Yeah.
I'm sure there's people somewhere that put it on every night before they go to bed. I don't know any person like that. That's all I'm going
to
say.
I want to meet those people.
Maybe, oh no, there wasn't three Michael Keatons. I was going to say, never mind. It doesn't matter. I learned this week or this spooky season that Frankenweenie, Nightmare Before Christmas, and The Corpse Bride are all connected. And they're different points of Victor's life. And I was just blown away.
I didn't know that.
Neither did I, other than like a Frankenweenie and The Corpse Bride. His name is Victor in both. So that should have been the giveaway.
And they're all Tim Burton films, right? Or at least within this production company. Okay.
Yep. A Man and His Dog.
Oh, shit.
I don't know what Tim Burton is. Do you have any hot takes?
Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
Oh, I just Googled Tim Burton. Go right ahead with your question.
Sorry. I was asking if you have any controversial horror takes.
No, mine was just the theater.
Oh. I have another one.
Let's hear it.
I'm getting tired of seeing the couple costumes. I mean, I'm getting tired of seeing the Joker and Harley Quinn couple costumes.
Okay, specifics.
And... And I actually just went on a little rant about that on Rise from the Dead. But I feel like, I'm not saying all people, this is just my opinion. I feel like people who dress like them as a couple costume, you are doomed in your relationship. Some people just don't truly understand the story between those two. Like, it's not a good thing. Like, they were such a toxic couple goals. No, yeah. Definitely not couple goals. And I feel like the couples that are dressing up as them are like, ew. It's so cool. But I don't know. It just bothers me. I'm like, or like, you'll see them be like, oh, you're my Joker to my Harley Quinn. I'm like, you really want to say that? You sure about that?
Idiots.
I don't know. That kind of. And I feel like Hocus Pocus is a little bit overrated.
I enjoy Hocus Pocus, but I think it's overrated, but that's probably because I didn't watch it growing up. I just started watching it 2-3 years ago.
I mean, don't get me wrong. I like the movie.
It's cute. Yeah.
It's a good movie, but the way people go crazy about it,
Don't Terrifier 2.
Terrifier 2. And listeners, by the time y'all listen to this, it has been officially announced that Terrifier 3 will be taking place during Christmas time. That's right, Art the Clown will be slaying hoes in the snow.
In the snow.
I'm so excited.
You're slinging three of those holes in the snow.
Shit. I'm going to the re-release of Terrifier 2 on the 1st, and they're showing the teaser trailer, and they're passing out limited edition Terrifier 3 posters.
Will there be any added footage to Terrifier?
Two. I'm not sure. I know the big thing was just like that they're doing a surprise teaser trailer for part 3.
Okay. Yeah, and I guess the movie's long enough. You don't really need to see what got cut.
I still need to get the steelbook. And then I'll be set.
I might have to add that to my November. You better hurry up. Best Buy is going to stop selling that stuff.
What's their reasoning behind that?
Probably lack of sales.
What are they going to do? What are they going to do with, like, because don't they do, like, the Best Buy exclusives?
Mm-hmm.
That just makes me sad.
Well, I think it's a sign of the times. Like, most people can, you know, instead of going to the theater, they rent things or they stream them or they buy them digitally. PlayStation and Xbox have already switched over to digital copies. You don't need physical. I hate that they're the same price for video games, whether you download it or purchase the physical copy. But it's a thing. DVDs.
So like you think.
Yes.
So you think with everything like with like the video games being digital, that they're going to increase the price, or they're going to be like in the same range, or what?
Right now, physical and digital video games are the same exact price. The only difference is, you can sell a physical copy if you're done with it, or trade it in for a new one. Digital.
So does that mean that GameStop is going downhill too?
I think they always have been. There's a lot of videos trashing GameStop online.
We can only give you $3 for that.
Yeah. I bought it from here yesterday.
Oh, then we can give you $2.
Yeah, they're not known for being the best, but they're also the only people doing it. Like, I can't remember all the stores from my childhood, but there used to be multiple video game stores.
Yeah. Now I'm like depressed now. I don't like this.
Oh, I didn't mean to do that. I'm sorry.
I'm already having a shitty night. Gosh. No, but I remember like, not to go away from like our horror themes, but I'm like GameStop when they did like the midnight release parties.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, those were so much fun. Oh, yeah, depending on, like, what game it was, oh, it was the place to be.
This is true. I've gotten quite a few midnight releases. I had an ex once, and they were really into gaming, and probably at least 2 to 4 times a year, we'd be there.
Yeah, two exes of mine who were into video games, and we went to the midnight release. Damn, good times.
All right.
Are there any more hot takes?
Nothing more hot takes.
What about, like, have y'all been watching anything good that you want to share?
The best thing I have watched is Where Evil Lives, or Lurks.
I was going to say that!
Oh, okay.
Sorry. No, like, please talk. I want to hear your thoughts. I'm so excited.
Has everyone on the call seen this?
I haven't, but go for it.
It will be on Shudder tomorrow, October 27th.
I will just say, in that case, spoiler alert, light spoiler alert for anyone that hasn't seen it yet, for whatever reason, by the time this drops. It is grueling and visceral, and I don't think they held back in any way, shape, or form.
And I loved it.
Loved it, yeah.
Okay.
Number one movie for me this year.
Same.
What's it about?
Where do you begin? So,
yeah.
Like, how would you? First of all, it's by the same director who did Terrified, and that movie creeped me out too.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm gonna go ahead and and fangirl. I even like DM'd the director and told him how much of a fan I am of his work, and that his movies are like the very few movies besides The Exorcist that actually scared me.
Oh,
because like this damn movie, When Evil Lurks, it was me and like two other people in our whole screening. Throughout the whole damn movie, I had my mouth open and like I was just reacting. I was like, oh my, what the, like just shouting out like, what the fuck, like what, like the word, I didn't know what to do. Mm-hmm. I was stressed. I just, it was off the chain. But here's a little synopsis, because I just don't know how to exactly put it, but the residents of a small rural town discovers that a demon is about to be born again among them. They desperately try to escape, but it may be too late.
Yeah, and I would say like the premise around that even is that this isn't new to them. Like, they're aware that demons exist. And like, it's more like they spend a bit of time trying to find someone with experience. Like, the fact that this demon is trying to get born isn't like the necessary problem. It's finding someone that can help us prevent this, who's done it before.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. I'm in. You guys have sold me. Especially since you both said it was probably your top spot for the year.
Oh.
Yeah.
Any kill scene is probably going to impress you. Any of them.
That ending, I was like, I want to be like, where can I get some apple ice cream and keep in my freezer just in case? Like, I need some backup, please.
Yeah, I agree with you on that reveal there, or that, I don't know. I wouldn't even call it a twist, but like the new path, I guess.
Oh man. I can't wait to watch it again.
Yeah, it's good to know it comes out tomorrow. I'll need a palate cleanser after Five Nights at Freddy's.
Damn. But yeah, that was definitely one of the movies. I'm trying to think what else. I did see the OG Exorcist. I saw Exorcist Believer. Did you two see it?
I haven't seen it.
Yeah, I saw it.
Great.
I feel like this is the movie people can go after David Gordon Green for. No. Like, leave Halloween alone. Shift your energy here. I don't think they're going to get to a third film.
I was wondering about that. And fun fact, the actress that played, oh my gosh, what was the,
Chris?
Gosh.
Huh? Chris?
No, one of the girls.
Oh, I do not.
Oh, I forgot her name. Sorry, I'm looking up her name. I can't believe I'm. Sorry, let's see. Angela, the actress that played Angela. She is coming to Horror Hound in March.
Oh, okay.
So I am pumped to see if they're going to bring other actors from the movie. If they get Linda Blair, I don't know what I'm going to do.
I don't think she would show up.
She's been doing conventions recently. I know she just did one, I think about a month or so ago.
But I mean, I don't think
we'll see
promote this film.
Oh no, no, no. We'll see.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm a dog fan. She's a dog fan. There you go.
I think the fact that the actors are on strike is going to hurt the second film, regardless of how good it is, because it got pushed to 2025 now instead of next Halloween.
Yeah, I don't know. And like with how the movie ended, I do hope we get the sequel. I don't think it needs to be a trilogy. but yeah.
Yeah, I think it kind of ends in the same vein. Again, spoilers are still up right now. But, like, the original film, the 1974 film, it kind of ends abruptly. It's just, like, Reagan's in the clear. And, like, I feel like the same thing happened here with the girls. It's like, oh, they're in the clear. And then, like, we don't spend any more time exploring this. Like, what was recovery like? Well, you're just fine. Don't remember a thing. Just like Reagan.
Y'all back in school now?
Yes.
Everybody's talking to y'all? Okay.
No one's worried about the bruises? How that happened?
No.
But also, my one problem with the film is, like, if you're doing a direct sequel to the 1974 film, you didn't try to add any elements from the first film. Like, now that I've heard the sound, I don't really think the sound was there, or a tribute to the sound design, and as well as any of the fatalities or possessions. They were just like, that's fine. Like, as far as possession goes, I think the Curse of Emily Rose is a far better film.
Oh, that movie scared me when it came out.
And the Deborah Logan film. That's mm-hmm.
The Taking of Deborah Logan.
Yeah.
So yeah, we'll see. I mean. Oh, sorry.
No, I mean, that's all I'm saying. We'll see in the next installment.
Yeah, I mean, I liked Believer for what it was. I did take issues with how they handled some of the OG characters, and just like how, like, the. Just like the third act was just messy. And I was just like, I felt like I caught myself like trying to like pay attention to like one person and like try to hurry up and catch on to the other person. And just, I just felt like my head was just like going around and around and around and around trying to catch up. But I mean, the movie creeped me out. Like when those girls were in full possession mode, I was like, y'all know what? I can't. Y'all creeping me out. Especially like the one scene when Angela like sneaks up on her dad. Was like, what did you say? I'm like, bitch, what? And he's just standing there. He's like, I didn't say anything. I'll be like, girl, go to bed. Get.
Yep.
You're not going to sneak up on me like that. But I'm trying to think. Did I see anything else? Oh, continue. I'm just thinking out loud.
Nothing. I was just wondering, or my question is to both of you. Is, what's this one? Deliver. Deceiver. Is Deceiver a prequel to Believer, or is it a sequel?
I don't know.
The next one?
Yeah.
Oh, I've only heard it was supposed to be a sequel.
Okay. Because there's like a spiritual element to this film with the mother, and that the father is very accepting right away when stuff starts going weird with his daughter.
I'm really curious to see where they take. Huh?
Nothing.
Don't start.
Wait, do you see him?
Hey, how you doing, little mama? How you?
I'm sorry.
Okay.
The episode of Sidetracks.
Did y'all see Saw X?
Oh, you know what I did?
Dev is like, I haven't seen none of it. I ain't seen her. You said you did, Gray?
Yeah. I thought Saw X captured the energy of the original Saw. And rightfully so, if it's supposed to be a follow-up to the first film. Or in between one and two film. So I think in that aspect it did, but it doesn't fix the franchise because John is still dead. So we can't have this whole like, or I mean, I wouldn't be a fan of like, hey, here's another adventure John had in between another film.
Hold on.
Oh, I thought that was you still whispering.
No, that's her reverse sneezing.
Oh.
But no, I've never cheered so hard for an anti-hero to tear people up.
Right.
I was like, get their asses, get their...
I thought the reveal was like on par with the first reveal. That's what I meant by the energy of like, when you see that John was there the whole time in the first film, you're just like, what? No one ever thought to check his body? And then the same thing with, what is that line he says? He's like, wait, if the trap was set up for two people the whole time, who was supposed to be the second person? And then they just realize how smart John is. I'm like, that's why you're gonna die.
I think Saw X made, I mean, I've always been a fan of John, but like Saw X really made me love his character. And I know, like, and I feel like the movie was tamed compared to the other entries in the franchise. Like, there's one scene that I was just like in my seat, like.
Yeah,
like, I was not expecting that.
I think it's a nuance of showing, like, even though John's training Amanda, spoilers, but I mean, this is already kind of, and it's like, he's still not perfect yet himself, and he's not the terrifying John. Like, I would say he borderlines this installment of still, is he a murderer, or is he a person that lets people die of their own happenstance?
Sorry, what was that? Sorry, I was checking on my Mookies.
Oh, I didn't see the movie.
Oh. Well, then, yeah, that's all I'll say about that. Devin, did you see anything in theaters yet?
I haven't. Well, outside of the Nightmare on Elm Street re-release. Or not re-release, but big screen. I haven't seen anything new. But I've been kind of focused on like trying to find classic movies or movies I haven't seen in a long time. I did watch much of the Psycho Quadrility. Quadrility?
A lot of people are doing that.
Oh, really? Oh.
I know Sheree, she was, I think she was doing a franchise review of it. Because she was asking for help finding the fourth film. It was either the third or the fourth. Which one's the one with Olivia in it?
The fourth one.
Yeah, so that was the one she was looking for.
Okay, I just...
Is it not on Tubi?
Hell no.
Oh. Oh.
I will loan her my DVD.
That was the time I ever saw CCH Pounder on screen.
Oh, she was great in that movie. Yeah, and I mean, I love the whole series, but I have, I mean, one is obviously a classic, can't be touched, but two and three have a special place in my heart for as well.
I love two.
Cool, I've always.
I've only seen the first two, so I need to start making my way to three and four.
Three is fun. It's silly.
Uh-oh, you struck, what's wrong with it?
No, it's more of a slasher movie than the first two.
Yeah,
and then the
fourth one is good, it's just a prequel. And I'm not the biggest fan of prequels, but it's fine.
I feel like Olivia Hussey had fun in that film.
Yeah. She was great in it.
Yeah.
I really like Olivia Hussey.
Yeah, me too. She was my first Juliet.
Yep.
I remember having to watch it in 11th grade, I think. before Claire Danes stepped on the screen.
We're actually learning Romeo and Juliet in class in my school that I work at for yeah, so the kids, so we actually watch a clip, like the beginning part of the 96 version. And just hearing some of these kids, they're like, what in the world? And I'm sitting there like, oh, I love this movie so much.
I mean, yeah, it's good fun. Wow. Really put John Leguizamo on the map.
Oh, I love him. And I almost forgot that Jamie Kennedy was in there.
Oh, it was the, or not, I don't know why I said Jim, but yeah, he was like the jester character, right?
Yeah, with the pink hair.
Yeah.
And that soundtrack, ugh.
I don't know how we got off horror again, but I think that's a good sign to wrap up our Halloween extravaganza bonanza. Anything you guys are looking forward to in November other than Terrifier 2 re-release? Thanksgiving on anyone's list?
I was gonna say Thanksgiving, and what else is coming out in November? I feel like there's something else I cannot remember.
Isn't A Wonderful Knife part of that?
I think so.
A Wonderful Knife. I know it's still making its festival journey. Yeah, A Wonderful Knife is November 10th.
I'll probably check that out too then. That's the week before Thanksgiving, right?
Yeah. I love how you call it Thanksgiving. Killing.
I'm just saying.
Oh yeah, because Thanksgiving comes out the week after. Yep. I'm just waiting for tickets to go on sale.
Yeah, that's a, like, so I do have this tradition of like, when there's a horror movie I'm really looking forward to, it's popcorn and Mr. Pibb or Pibb Extra. And it's like, that is a movie where there will be popcorn and soda. Until my stomach.
You said until my stomach hurts. I'm just excited for the trampoline scene.
Yeah. I'm not coming to watch that part. It's in my head. Too much for me.
I'm really in it just for Gina Gershon. Yeah, whatever she's there for. But anyhow, that's going to do it for us. Another Halloween in the digital books. Ash, tell people where they can find you.
You can find me on Twitter, also known as X, at Ash to Ashes. That's Ash with the X in the middle, Ashes. And also on my other show at Rise From Dead Pod. Stay tuned. I will be dropping a Halloween episode soon. And we'll most likely go back on a little break. But yeah, you can find me there.
And Devin.
Find me on Twitter and Instagram at IHJC. All one word. And online at IHJesse.com.
IHJesse.
You took my breath away.
People take our breath away.
And as per usual, you can find me on social media, Gray himself. That is G-R-A-E himself. I will be throwing ass all weekend. Please come find me on 6th Street. Until then, say goodnight, folks.
Gray himself. Night.
Night. Happy Halloween.
Stay spooky, bitches.
Oh, yeah. Happy Halloween. I should have said something spooky, but I didn't.